Hey, I'm Francis Lam, and this is Splendid Table Selects, our mini-podcast about the stuff that makes us better cooks and eaters, and in today's case, hosts. So, you know what an EGOT winner is, right? It's someone who's won an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony, the Grand Slam of Entertainment Awards. And I don't actually know if EGOT is an official term. I think it was actually made up by Tracy Jordan on the show 30 Rock. But anyway, the list of people who've won them all is tiny. But it includes national treasure Whoopi Goldberg. Now, you probably know that Whoopi is someone who has strong opinions about lots of things, but you might not know that she is a passionate hostess who takes the art of setting the table and entertaining very seriously. Like Martha Stewart seriously, only with her own sense of style. And she's a new book on the subject called The Unqualified Hostess, and Sally Swift met up with her in New York City to talk about it. Have a listen.
Hey, Whoopi Goldberg, great to have you here.
Thrilled to be here.
So I'm outing you because I think this is a really surprising book. You are a nester. Who knew?
Well, you have to tell me what a nester is.
So this is a book. I'm going to describe the book. Okay. It's called The Unqualified Hostess.
Yes.
It is essentially, to my mind, a book of tablescapes that are so fantastical and odd, and I can see that it comes from you.
Yes.
But there's also this sense of formality about it, as if Martha Stewart is going to be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's an amazing combination.
Well, as it turns out, it's a combination that encompasses, I think, 95% of the population who are over 35. Because if you're over 35, you were taught how to set a table.
I don't think that's true, but I found it fascinating that your mom made you set a table.
Oh,
three
times
a day.
It was just three of us, so everybody had a job. But I think everybody's parent made them put a fork here and a knife and spoon here, and you put the plate there.
Right.
And if you were able, you know, if you had a place to sit and join with your family as a kid, you know, I'm in my 60s, so this was like, you know, this was your job.
So what is it about setting the table for you?
I think it has turned out to be something that reminds me to take my time. Because it takes time, if you have six people at your house to eat, it takes time to make sure their plate and their fork and their knife is cool and their glass is there. And sometimes if you want to get really bold and you got two glasses, you know, it takes a minute to do. You can't rush it. And I find that in these days of, you know, quick moving, mm-hmm. fast talk and everything, I like taking my time.
It's the quiet. You have grandkids too, right?
I have great grandkid.
You do?
Yeah, she's five. She's learning to set the table. We set the table with her unicorns.
That makes total sense.
Well, to her, yeah.
And I suspect to you as well.
It does, but you know, I have to keep up the idea that there's some adult in me somewhere.
So are you, I mean, I would look at this book and I thought, oh my God, she's a collector. Do you consider yourself a collector?
I don't, but I am, you know. I didn't realize how much of a collector as I was until I did this book. And had to keep saying in different pages, listen, you don't have to have the stuff that I have. I have a huge amount of stuff after all these years. But you don't need a whole bunch of stuff to do any of this.
Right. And by stuff, you mean, I mean, your stuff. I'm looking at it. You have tablescapes with trolls in them. You have toys all over the place.
Yeah.
You also have, like, super collector's things, like knife rests.
I love a knife rest. I didn't know much about them.
So tell me what you know about them.
I know that they can save your tablecloth. I know they will save the tablecloth because if you have family over and you've made it some sort of holiday fare, you know, and your knife is laying on the tablecloth, chances are whatever was on your knife is on the tablecloth, and that will be just another spot on it. But the knife rest can help you avoid that.
It's Exactly. You know. They did know what they were doing long ago.
Yes, they did. And it's, I guess, you know, part of this all comes because I asked a question at the Winter Antiques Fair. Because I used to go to people's houses and I'd see, you know, all these little cherubs and... And I just thought, what is that? What do you do with that? So I went to Winter Antiques Fair, and there was a woman who was setting a table, and my partner, business partner Tom and I said, I got to ask her because I don't understand this stuff. I said, what is this? And the lady said, oh, it's called micin, and a big proponent of it was the Sun King, Louis XIV. So he'd have these massive dinners. And because he couldn't go to everyone at the table, he'd have these things that would cause people to have conversation. But the beauty of it was because people didn't necessarily know each other, they would start talking about what was on the table in front of them. And I felt that one of the things that I could learn was how to be a more present person, because left to my own devices, you'd never see me, you know. And so to become a more in-the-world person, I thought, well, maybe I'll put some stuff on my table.
And out came the trolls.
And out came the trolls. Well, first, I have to tell you, so I'm in New Orleans at a place called MS Rao, which I love, and discovered the King of Hanover's. And so they had this layout of probably 125 pieces for 300 people, you know.
A dinner setting
belonged to the King of Hanover, and they showed them to me, and I just really loved them. And I said, I guess you couldn't just do a set for 12 people. They said, no, we could do that. I was like, really? You could? And so they started to, you know, pull pieces out. And I said, what are you doing? They said, well, we're separating them because we don't want to give you the ones with the staples. So they showed me these porcelain staples, which is how they would keep porcelain together in the early, you know, 17, 1800s when stuff broke. And I said, I would like to have the things that have the porcelain staples in it because that's a good conversation. That could be fun to talk. So I decided I was going to do a dinner party for people I didn't know really well, but people I wanted to know. So then I put the trolls in and all the other crazy toys that live with me and things that my kid had. So it was good. And people said, so what is this on the china? I said, well, let me tell you about this. This is, you know, this belonged to the King of Hanover. And it was great because it sparked all these other conversations about what we know how to do and what is formal and what is okay. And I just always felt that, you know, no one expects me to do things the way a Martha Stewart would do it. Or no one puts me in the same vein as having taste.
Yeah, that made me sad when I read that in the book, because you actually do say in the book that you used to think you didn't have taste.
Well, yeah, because when enough people tell you, you know, oh, that's, you know... And, you know, I always dress to please myself. But, you know, after a while, you start, you know, dressing and thinking, well, maybe things will happen a little differently if I do this. And then you get to be a certain age and you go, you know what, you don't have no taste. You're the one with no taste. And so by that time, you know, I started looking at different things and then recognizing that there are probably lots of people who've been told this. And that there are lots of people out there who need to know. And that's what this is really all about. No one can tell you you're doing it wrong.
Exactly.
Because you're doing it the way you like.
Yeah. Your mix is very, very interesting because those King of Hanover plates, I mean, and you layer them with a glassy plate on top with little dog etchings.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a wacky.
That's Lalique.
It's a wacky, wacky world.
I like all the things that I can have fun with, because if I'm having a good time at my gathering, you're going to have a good time. And that's the key, isn't it? If you make people believe you know what you're doing, who's going to question it? And they're going to go home and think, boy, I wish I could do that. And then someone will give you my book, and the book says to you, of course you can do that. Don't listen to people who tell you what you can't do. Listen to the people who encourage you to do the things you can.
And be curious, which you are.
I'm very curious. I'm nosy, too.
I like that.
Yeah.
Amen, Whoopi Goldberg. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Sally Swift with hostess extraordinaire Whoopi Goldberg, whose book is called The Unqualified Hostess. And while we have you, let me tell you that we are incredibly excited that we've launched a brand new podcast featuring our dear friend, cookbook author and New York Times food writer Melissa Clark, who is, in fact, entirely qualified. The podcast is called Weeknight Kitchen with Melissa Clark, and it's a practical guide for cooking and eating Monday to Friday. Subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you like to find your podcasts, and look for Melissa's weeknight dinner recipes on our website, splendidtable.org. And that's what we have for today. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great week. I'm Francis Lam. All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.